Hi everyone, this is Jennifer Mullen. Wanted to thank you for joining the call today and say happy Veterans Day. So we have a couple of speakers on the call this afternoon that are going to talk about a number of things, but wanted to just make sure everyone knows that this call is in regards to an AP story that will be released at midnight tonight. The two speakers on our call have seen an early copy of that story that showed up online early last week. And so wanted to correct some of the misinformation that's in that story and provide some more context around specific things, specifically around quotes that showed up in that story from Leroy Perkins, who was quoted extensively in the story and believes that some of his comments may have been taken out of context. And so we wanted to give Leroy a chance to talk with folks about his intention with engaging in that story. And then we'll turn the call over to Jeff Cooper with the Renewable Fuels Association, who is going to go through kind of a fact-by-fact rebuttal against some of the claims that are made in the story. And so with that, I will turn the call over to Leroy.
Well, thanks for giving me the opportunity to join in on the call today. I'm a farm owner in southern Iowa, specifically in Wayne County, Iowa. I own 170 acres of rolling farm ground 3 miles west of Corydon, the county seat for Wayne County. Along with that, I'm also a licensed master electrician, retired United Methodist pastor, and I'm secretary manager of the Wayne County Fair Board. A number of AP reporters visited Wayne County last July with some TV cameras, along with quite a few questions, of course. They had contacted me previous to our fair about a story they were working on surrounding absentee landlords in Wayne County, along with water quality, but most especially out-of-state landlords who were buying a large number of acres in Wayne County. They had found my name on the Iowa Association of Fairs website pertaining to our Wayne County Fair running the week they were going to be in Iowa. They noted they wanted to look at the county fair along with the absentee out-of-state landlords and, of course, water quality. I was very excited to have them come and do coverage of our fair. As many people don't really understand fairs in general, especially smaller county fairs, and what it does for the youth, adults, and people of the county. Along with helping them understand the farm problems that out-of-state landlords are bringing to the county. When I saw the outcome of their visit to the county while reading the story they put together, I think the AP folks wrote a little different story than they told me they were going to write. On top of that, it was pretty much a one-sided story. I believe most of you are aware that I am quoted a number of times in that story, and so I wanted to see if we could perhaps set the record a little straighter on a few things that took place along with what I had hoped would be beneficial to our fair and the people of Wayne County. First off, I spent several hours during the week off on visiting with Dina Capel and her colleagues at the fairgrounds and out in the CRP ground at our farm. They never once brought up the focus of their visit, and the story they were putting together was a story to put down ethanol. She did ask me about ethanol and what I thought about it. I in turn told her, we think that it is great. I think it's good for the environment, and it's been great for the farmers around here because it's created a lot of economic activity and income for the farmers and businesses here in Wayne County, as well as across Iowa and Midwest in general. I told them at the time that I was for ethanol, that I believe in it, and we use it in our vehicles and equipment all the time, and have even back when it was referred to as gasohol, because it's a product of the land, it is not something that we're going to run out of, and I feel it is much better than oil because it's made right here in the U.S. of A. Now, when it was all said and done, I thought the interview went really good. That is, until the article came up, and it was not what I thought it was going to be. I was not sure what I expected to be, but it sure wasn't good for ethanol at all. I think what they did was somewhat misleading, as they didn't tell me the whole reason for the coming. Yes, they were at the fair, and they talked with a number of people. They toured the county. But it appears that perhaps their whole agenda was more or less running down ethanol. And I've always liked ethanol, as I said earlier, because it's a good alternative to oil. And again, it is made right here in the USA by American farmers and American businesses, giving jobs and people a better income to everyone. Along with this is the fact that gas with ethanol is much cheaper. In Wayne County, gas with ethanol costs less than $3 a gallon. I think this morning it's $2.95 in Wayne County. And I think all of us know that if we rely on just one fuel source, oil, that the price will surely go up, and so I think that it is a horrible idea to attempt to get rid of ethanol. You all need to know what's really going on with ethanol and land use here in Iowa, And so I'm going to let Jeff handle the questions and give you more details about the facts on all of this. He understands it and follows it much better than I do. Thanks for all your time on this very important issue of agriculture and rural people and development.
Well, thank you, Leroy. This is Jeff Cooper with the Renewable Fuels Association, and we really want to thank Leroy for taking some time this afternoon to get on the phone with us and clear the air. I'd also like to wish everyone a happy Veterans Day, and thank you all for joining the call this afternoon. As Jen noted at the outset of the call, the AP story is scheduled to be released tomorrow, but several AP subscribers broke that embargo, and it was leaked out and has been floating around for the last week or so. Gosh, I guess we need to send a plumber to D.C. to fix all these leaks we've had the last couple of weeks. So anyway, we've had a chance to read the story, and we find it to be just flabbergasting. I think there's probably more truth in this week's National Enquirer than there is in the AP story. Like Leroy, RFA and many other members of the Fuels America Coalition spent quite a bit of time with Ms. Capiello. We provided peer-reviewed studies and government data documenting ethanol's positive environmental impacts, spent plenty of time just answering questions. But it appears that information was consciously ignored because it didn't seem to fit the preconceived storyline. So since our side of the story wasn't represented in the AP article, we wanted to spend the next 15 minutes or so addressing some of the most egregious factual inaccuracies in the AP story. And I want to start by addressing the story's suggestion that ethanol and the renewable fuel standard are responsible for cropland expansion in the United States. They also suggest that it's responsible for accelerated conversion of conservation lands and what they call conversion of quote, virgin lands. I want to make this very clear. Cropland is not expanding in the United States, certainly not expanding because of the RFS or for any other reason. If you look at the long-term trend, it continues to trend toward less cropland, and that trend has not been interrupted by the emergence of the ethanol industry or the RFS. And here's just a few statistics to support that. Since the passage of the expanded RFS in 2007, field crop acreage has averaged 321 million acres. So that's over the last 5 or 6 years. In the 10 years prior to that, field crop acreage averaged 325 million acres. And if you go back to the mid and late 1990s, farmers were planting more than 330 million acres to major crops every year. And when I say major crops, I'm referring to all feed grains, so corn, sorghum, barley, oats. I'm referring to all wheat acreage, oil seeds like soybeans, cotton, and hay. So you know, the major crops that this nation produces are all included in these numbers. So the key point here is that cropland continues to shrink. Farmers are not converting native grasslands or forest into cropland. There's just no evidence of that happening because of ethanol or for any other reason. Now, have there been shifts in terms of the mix of crops that make up the total cropland? Of course. Farmers make their planting decisions based on signals from the marketplace, and those signals determine how they allocate their land. As an example, farmers plant 30 to 40% fewer acres to cotton today than they did in the 1990s because the demand just isn't there like it once was for cotton. So that means there are 5 to 6 million acres of good, productive cropland that used to grow cotton that are now growing something else. This type of crop switching is really as old as agriculture itself. So the AP story's premise that increased demand for ethanol has driven cropland expansion in the U.S. is just not right, and it's not supportable. The AP story also blames ethanol for the decrease in acres enrolled in conservation programs, specifically the Conservation Reserve Program, or CRP as it's well known. And again, this allegation just isn't supported by the data. The 2008 Farm Bill cut funding for 7.2 million acres of CRP. So the cap, the maximum amount of acreage that could be enrolled in CRP, dropped from 39.2 million acres to 32 million acres beginning in 2010. So, of course, in response to that funding cut and that reduction of the ceiling on CRP, CRP acreage fell. It fell to 31.3 million acres in 2010, 31.1 million acres in 2011, and just under 30 million acres in 2012. So, you know, even though the ceiling was lowered or the maximum was lowered on CRP acres, farmers have come closer to maxing out CRP enrollment in the years since the RFS2 was adopted than at any time in the program's history. If you look at acres enrolled in CRP since 2010, we've been closer to that legal enrollment cap, you know, 92 to 98% of the maximum allowed, than in any of the years preceding passage of the expanded RFS. So, you know, I think it's also important to remember that in addition to providing environmental services, one of the key objectives of the CRP program was to help reduce burdensome surpluses of agricultural commodities and help reduce the you know, excessive supplies of grain in the 80s that were really depressing prices and you know, financially harming farmers. So, you know, much of the land enrolled in CRP was always intended to remain available for a return to production if that was warranted by market conditions. I also want to talk about wetlands a little bit. The AP story states in a very emotional way that farmers and landowners are filling in wetlands. And I'm here to tell you that just isn't happening. Acreage enrolled in the Wetlands Reserve Program, which is another USDA conservation program, hit a record high in 2012. And the program has been so successful that the cap on enrollments for Wetland Reserve for the Wetland Reserve Program has actually been raised at a time when, you know, when we're trying to make cuts to these programs. Congress recognized the value of this particular program and the popularity of this program and raised the cap in the 2008 Farm Bill. The other thing that's important to know about the Wetlands Reserve Program is when you put land into that program, it's enrolled permanently or for a period of 30 years. So you can't just say, oh gosh, corn prices are up this year, I'm going to go fill in my wetlands and plant some corn. It just doesn't work that way. So while we're on the topic of land use, I want to drill down a little bit further and look specifically at what has happened in Leroy's area, Wayne County, Iowa. You know, the AP article really tried to paint Wayne County as a poster child for cropland expansion under the RFS, but they did some really sloppy reporting and omitted some key facts. Farmers in Wayne County, Iowa, planted far more corn in that county in the past than they do today. All you have to do is go look at USDA records, and they'll show you that in 1985, for instance, 88,000 acres of corn were planted in Wayne County. That compares to 58,000 acres that were planted last year. So, you know, a 34-35% reduction since the mid-80s. And, in fact, if you look at average corn acreage in the county going back as far as USDA tracks this, the last 10 years has seen lower average corn acreage in Wayne County than any other decade on record since the 1920s when USDA started tracking this, with the one exception of the decade of the 1990s. So I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about the AP story's discussion of corn use for ethanol. We repeatedly underscored with the AP reporters, and I know others did as well, that corn ethanol plants produce more than ethanol. We told them that every 56-pound bushel of corn processed by an ethanol plant results in 2.8 gallons of fuel and about 17 pounds of animal feed. And there isn't a single mention of this co-product in the very lengthy AP story. So one-third of every bushel destined for ethanol actually returns to the livestock feed market in the form of distiller's grains or corn gluten. And when you take that into account or consider it properly, livestock feed remains the top user of corn by a large margin, which is the opposite of what the AP story suggests. And on a net basis, ethanol consumed really only about 26% of the 2012 corn crop, while livestock feed accounted for about 50%. If you look at USDA's very latest supply-demand estimates that they just put out on Friday, those numbers show that ethanol will use an even smaller percentage of this current corn crop in the current marketing year. It looks like about 22% of the corn supply will be used for ethanol, on, again, on a net basis. So I think it's also important to point out that using distillers' grains and corn gluten doesn't just displace corn in livestock feed rations. It also replaces some soybean meal. So distillers' grains, in addition to reducing the need for corn for feed, also have the effect of reducing demand for protein meal, and that in turn reduces the need for soybean acres. You know, we could go on and on all day refuting the half-truths in the AP story, and you know, we intend to release some much more detailed, lengthier fact sheets and counter, you know, counterpoints. But I did want to spend the remainder of my time just discussing the story's allegations about corn ethanol's greenhouse gas impacts, since that was kind of, you know, one of the main themes of the story. The story describes EPA's GHG analysis of corn ethanol as, you know, quote-unquote optimistic. And I've got to tell you, I nearly fell out of my chair when I read that. Any of you who have been covering these issues for a while will know that RFA and the rest of the ethanol industry have actively been encouraging EPA to revisit and revise its life cycle analysis of corn ethanol because it's not optimistic at all, according to the latest information and data available. Contrary to what the article says, there are plenty of independent scientists out there who have found ethanol significantly reduces greenhouse gas emissions, and I don't believe Ms. Capiello talked to any of them. In just the last few years, scientists at Argonne National Labs, Purdue University, University of Nebraska, Michigan State, Oak Ridge National Laboratory, University of Illinois Chicago, and there are, you know, are many more, they've all published work documenting the greenhouse gas and environmental benefits of using ethanol, and would be happy to point any of you to the studies from those folks. Even Rich Plevin from UC Berkeley, who was quoted in the AP article, was a co-author on a paper back in 2006. That was, and the title of the paper was "Ethanol Can Contribute to Energy and Environmental Goals," and certainly his earlier work on ethanol wasn't mentioned in the story. The very latest peer-reviewed published analysis by Argonne National Labs, and that's one of the Department of Energy labs, using the GREET model, which is a model that was used by EPA and is kind of considered the gold standard in terms of life cycle analysis. This latest analysis shows that corn ethanol reduces GHG emissions by an average of 34% compared to gasoline, and some production pathways go as high as a 48% reduction. And I want to underscore that this includes, these results include emissions from hypothetical land use changes. We shared this report with Ms. Capiello, and apparently she chose not to mention it. I know she didn't reach out to the folks at Argonne to discuss the report. So as I said, we could go on and on. The final point I want to make here is, you know, the big picture, when you really step back and look at the AP article, the key takeaway is that it totally lacks context and it fails to make any appropriate comparisons at all to the competing energy options like tight oil from fracking or oil sands. That's the kind of discussion we need to be having is, you know, how does ethanol from corn and from other feedstocks compare to these other sources at the margin of the fuel market? You know, I guess I would urge all of you to exercise great caution when you see the AP story tomorrow, if you haven't already taken a look at it, and be skeptical of what you're reading. And I guess, again, I would mention that both RFA and Fuels America will have extensive rebuttals and detailed counterpoints up on our websites shortly, or we can share those upon request as well.